track that I played before Rainbow Chan, which was from the Stiff Gins, entitled Fleetingly, who is one of my guests talking with me today about Black Drop Effect, which is an immersive, multi-layered experience which explores black and white, generational conflict, and the ongoing effects of colonization in Australia. The work asks audiences to rethink and redefine the ideas and feelings surrounding the 250 years of Australia's contested history. Creator of the show and Yuwalurai woman, Nadi Simpson, known as a storyteller, performer and songwriter with the Stiff Gins, is joining me to tell us more about the show, as she is the show's creator. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on a Saturday morning.
Oh, pleasure.
So let's get straight into it. Black Drop Effect is an immersive, multi-layered exploration of the fallout of Australia's colonisation, experiencing adversarial views on Captain Cook's legacy. A lot of heavy things there.
Yeah.
What drew you to kind of unpack these in your work?
Yeah, well, 3 years ago I did a creative lab with the Australia Council, and there were Aboriginal artists from all over the country. I actually will never forget that moment. I mean, it went for a week, but there was sort of like a pin drop moment. And, you know, we had poets and dancers and screen printers and writers and musicians. It was just a really beautiful mix of people from all over the place practicing culture and telling stories. And at one point in the week, Wesley Enoch came in and he said, you know, 2020 is coming up. We're going to be flooded with this colonial narrative. Anniversary of Captain, Lieutenant Cook, maybe, then, and the Endeavour expedition. And he stopped. He's, you know, real dramatic, eh? He stopped and he looked at all of us. He said, "You mob need to be ready and quiet." And I don't know how other, I actually didn't speak to anybody else about that, but that moment was like, it just stuck in my mind, because here's Wesley to me, you know, I really respect him, and he's a senior knowledge holder in our creative industry, and he was telling a room full of writers and poets and artists, "You're our army and you got to defend what we know." And at that moment it was a really strong sort of sentiment, but then I thought, up until that point I thought, I write songs, I play guitar, and you know, I don't change the world. But he was this man telling a whole lot of us, together you can do something serious. And so from that point I started thinking about that date that's coming up, what I do, how I'm going to do it, and what I could say about that could tell our stories our way, but also talk about the complexity of all of us together. And, you know, I was lucky to have a few little opportunities to write things down, and Bankstown Arts Centre came on board, and the idea for this play, Black Drop Effect, really came from Wesley's words and him making me realise that all these creative artistic voices together can be a real force. Yeah.
So can you tell us about that starting idea? What does the play, what's it actually about?
It's evolved a long way from my real Nurragar stupid little writing, first writings.
It always does.
Thank goodness. So basically, the premise for the play is there's a woman from council who wants to have some Indigenous involvement in their 26th celebrations.
And it's contemporary?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So it could be any council, anywhere in Australia. She's been trying to get hold of a black fella. And she's leaving notes at the bowling club for a man that she's been given the name of Uncle Bino. And Uncle Bino's getting all these notes and watching them pile up and thinking, what's this all about? And anyway, he goes and talks to his sister, Arnie Bean, and says, the council want me to dance. And she's, you know, she says, well, you're going to do it. And he said, I haven't danced for ages. And last time I danced, it didn't go so well. She said, listen, Bino, you're going to do it, and you're going to get those boys, and you're going to go down there and dance on the 26th. And so the play is about Uncle Bino and three young boys getting together, sharing knowledge about the place where they are, learning dances, but also how that sort of cultural exchange interacts and clashes and gets kind of miscommunicated with PIP from council and everything that they need. So it's, I came up with the idea when I started to read the journals, Cook's journals, when he first went into Botany Bay. And without judgment, I looked at those words and thought, this is all one big mistake, a misreading of people and place. And from that, things snowballed. So I sort of tried to mirror those mistakes and miscommunications that happened 250 years ago in this kind of premise of organising an event for Australia Day with black and white fellas. So, it's sort of bringing the past forward and seeing how do those things continue today in different ways.
Do you have, as an Indigenous artist, do you have any experience with miscommunication with people in power or...
Hello.
I think is it inspired by that?
It's not just a black thing, you know. Yeah. White fellas, the way that we are structured means that those things happen a lot. A lot. And sort of I've been thinking a lot about it, and it's not about... it's not that people willfully want to disregard others, or, you know, most of the time everyone's meeting at a point of respect. It's just that the way we've been trained is different, and sometimes in certain circumstances those differences really collide and butt heads. I mean, I've been really lucky in my singing life that I've never had too many really confronting things. As opposed to my father's generation, where it was really about blackness and whiteness. But, you know, today it's more about, these things are hard to sort of...
Systems.
Yeah, that's right.
Systemic kind of.
Absolutely, that's the word, you know. This is a dumb example, but we put in to do a gig at a little venue in the Inner West, and they came back and said, oh, you're too political, Stiff Gin's too political. And I looked at Colleen, we sing folk songs.
Yeah, I'm like, fleeting is
that's right.
A nice song.
It's harmony. It's nice harmonies, you know. If there was a black elevator anywhere, we'd be playing it. We just enjoy singing together. So there's, you know, there's no political, very little political lyrics, really. But I think maybe the existence of us was enough to... for people to think that. Mm. And so that's how those miscommunications happen to me in these days. So it's just about, and also that kind of thing is about what people carry with them, a set of ideals that they've carried with them, and then it comes out at a point where you think, hang on a sec, that's actually, we asked that mob if they'd heard any of our songs and they said no, but that decision was made. So, you know, that's how it happens. And that's a rare occurrence. But that's what it can look like today.
So with a background in singing and in music, how was your experience writing a play, and how has that kind of influenced your writing and the production of it itself?
I've really enjoyed it. I mean, it's all a learning experience. And I was thinking on the way in here, when I was in that sort of workshop phase those years ago, everybody showed their work except me. And I thought, well, what can I do? I could play a song where I maybe sing, maybe harmonise and play guitar. And other people were showing exhibitions and, all these amazing works and reading poetry. And I've always considered myself as part of a whole. And when Wesley sort of said that, made us think about what our individual role could be, that's when I started to think about myself as my own artist, as a singular artist. And I think I've worked out, and through the process of this play, all my training in music, we're real collaborative, you know, musicians. We love playing with others. And we actually know that our role is part of a larger whole. When it comes to writing, I really enjoyed being creative in a sort of contained, quiet way. But then I was able to just let it go and let the composer and the designer and lighting and visuals, let those fellas do what they are experts at. So I enjoyed that little quiet time in writing. And then I had no problem in handing it over because, you know, they're only going to make it better. And I think my training in music sort of allowed that me to be okay with that. Yeah.
So the work, as we kind of discussed, is a play, but also like a play plus with lots of other elements.
Play plus. Yeah.
What can you talk us through, you know, the design and those kind of other aspects of the work?
Yeah. So we're really lucky to be working with James Henry, who's also a Yawarrai man living down in Melbourne. He started as a singer-songwriter. He's a composer. He's a photographer. He's one of those dudes that, you know, can do anything, really creative fella. And he's composed the music in between transitions for the play. Lucy Simpson, who is my sister, but most importantly a designer and a graphic artist, has also lent her motifs and images in the transition, so they kind of fill the space and go up this big screen we've got at the back there. And really, I love those moments, that music and image, because it's sort of a different way of presenting the same things in words. It enhances the words, makes the words better. So we'll have a lot of image and sound that will fill the stage, beautiful kind of, when they say multidisciplinary and all those words, you know, it's really flashlights and sound. So those elements are really important. I think I when I wrote, I wanted to, there's things that I had in my mind that I couldn't make in words, but when I blurted it out to those fellas, they could translate it into their discipline and made it fly, yeah.
The beauty of collaboration.
Oh, it look, so far so good. I mean, I actually am related to both James and Lucy, of course. So we're right, but sometimes working with family doesn't work. But so far, it's been really brilliant. And I think it's about leaving space for people to think in their own ways too, opposite to what happened on the shores, where the heads were butting. If you just allow people and what they do and their difference to be part of what it is you do, you see things that you never could have dreamed of.
So obviously this play is incredibly timely, and that's a big reason why you wrote it. And how are you hoping people interact, given, like, you know, probably going to be bombarded with a lot of Captain Cook stuff?
Yeah, I'll be really interested. So Pip, who is the event manager at Council in the play, is a really kind of earnest lady who really wants to do the right thing. And in wanting to do the right thing so badly, she makes all these really inappropriate mistakes. And I'll be really interested to see how audiences react. I think the blackfellas that have come and seen Little Runs and things cringe at those things. And I'd be really interested to see what non-Indigenous, if they can recognise that point where really she oversteps, not because she's being nasty, but because she wants things to work so well. And it's a really blurry line. We can't define that line. If we could, we wouldn't have these problems. So I'm really interested to see what the reaction to Pip's character will be. It's sort of a wait and see. I've planned already to sit up the back, and I don't know if I'm going to take notes because I'm really interested in people's reaction. That's the whole part of it. I mean, writing it for me was a great experience because I'd never done it before. And just as I handed it over to all the other creatives, now it is, it's the actors have people in their hands to move how they want, and I'll be really interested to see what the audience do. I sort of can't predict, but I'm really interested in people, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, and happy Sydney Festival.